This is probably one of my favorite hymns and songs I like to sing, and I think it has so much. My faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary. We look to God, we find that it is through God and God alone that we have our physical and spiritual being even today. But as we look and as we sing the song, how many of you actually prayed verse 3 as you sang it? Well, life's dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread. We find in life today so much of this happening, and so much of it is true. So much of it, people are looking to the physical sense of the human life instead of the spiritual sense. Being Advent Sunday, we look to Christ and the birth of His, what we call the birth of His time. We use worldwide December 22nd or 25th. And so we take 4 weeks before that is always Advent. So we begin today to look towards the birth of Christ. Yet we look at the world and we see all of the turmoil and the heartache going on around us. A couple days ago, they had an earthquake in Alaska, 7.0 on the Richter scale, and they said it could be felt for over 400 miles from Anchorage. They told many of the people to get out because their houses were not structural enough in which to live. And there's one lady that as she grabbed the things to her that was important to show you that her life is not in Christ. She says, I grabbed my passports so she could continue traveling. She says, I grabbed my birth certificate so I could prove I'd been born and who I was. And then she says, as I was leaving, I seen this bottle of liquor sitting on the table, so I grabbed that because it would give me something to drink and make me feel okay and I wouldn't get thirsty. Her thoughts were not on eternity. Her thoughts were on herself at the present time. And how many times do we go through life seeing the same thing? We look at the things of today and we say this is Advent and this is the first Sunday in Advent, and in 3 weeks we celebrate the birth of Christ. December 25th, many people say they will not celebrate it because it's not the actual birthday, and I agree with them, it probably isn't. But worldwide, December 25 has been proclaimed as the birth of Christ. And the whole world celebrates on that particular day. So they have taken a day in which to commemorate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Yet, when we get prepared and when we have all the parties and everything, we look towards man's made idea of Christmas. It's decorating, it's nice, it looks beautiful, and why shouldn't we decorate for the King? But we have so much going on in our own little world that we forget the deity of Jesus Christ. We forget why God sent Christ into the world. We forget all of these other things. And we look only at the physical stands of it. And so as we sing the third verse of My Faith Looks Up to Thee, we find very much of how the world looks and not how God looks. We find that the world is with us all the time in this life. And in this life, we will continue living in the world because we have to and it's our destiny. But do we show the deity of God, and do we show that God is first in each one of our lives? As we go to work, as we talk at home, as we pray, as we read, or do we not do any of these things amongst any of our people, and yet we claim to be followers of Christ. It is not condemning anyone, but it is doing what Paul has written to the Romans in chapter 13, beginning at verse 11. And as we read this, we can see Paul speaking not only to the Romans, but to us also. And let us stand at the reading of God's holy word from Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in rivalry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. These were thy words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. As we looked in the Old Testament lesson, we find that the first verse and a half of Isaiah is what Jesus spoke when he spoke in Nazareth. He'd come to his own country after growing up and leaving it for a while and preaching through Capernaum and even Jerusalem and into Judea. He comes back to Nazareth and they hand him the scroll. He reads verse 1 and half of verse 2 in Isaiah 61. In that, he talks about how he was sent into the world to release the captives and to set the prisoners free. He did not talk about the vengeance of God, which is in the second half of the second verse. And he did not talk about the other things that were read, because they all pertained to Christ's second coming and through the tribulation period which this world is about to enter. We find that through that, Christ came as a peaceful lamb, and he was the one that was supposed to come. And we read in Isaiah chapter 7, where a sign would be given unto us, and the virgin would have a baby. And in there we find, even if we read before that, that Ahaz, who was the priest at that time and king, said, I will not test God. And God says, I will give you a sign through the prophet Isaiah. And he gave us Isaiah 7:14. Unto you a child will be born. His name will be called Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, the one that's coming to shed and give his life for each one of us. Jesus fought the battle of sin for us. He won that battle. And so today, many times we look and we say, God, if you are almighty, why do you let Satan continue as he does and sin continue as we see it in the world? I believe we're in for some big changes in this world. In this country. This country, we've had it pretty good. We've had a lot, and a lot of times I've said, I think we're spoiled when we look at the rest of the world. When you look at Germany, for example, they said they needed more people to do work. So they opened their arms and they invited all of the immigrants to come in from the Middle East. Those immigrants came in. They did not want to obey the laws of Germany or that area, and they made their own laws, and they said, we'll do what we did back in our home country. And today, that part of the world, which is supposed to be our friends, are not only against us, but they are against Christianity. And they are against Christ. And Christ said, remember, when you accept me and you follow me, you will be persecuted. And the reason why you'll be persecuted is because they persecuted me. Because they did not believe what I said, they will not believe what you say. And remember, they are not rejecting you, they are rejecting God the Father Almighty, who created the heavens and the earth. We find Jesus came into this world, into his own, and his own did not receive him. They did not recognize him as the creator of the heavens and the earth. God so has then had mercy upon us and has had kindness to us, that he has given us grace, that we should be saved by grace, not by works. Because if it was works, we would have our own selves to praise and to glory in. Yet we find that Paul telling the Corinthians, he says, I am ashamed of you for not professing your Christian faith and your faith in Christ to those around you. You keep it to yourself because there are many people within you that have not heard about Christ and his kingdom, about Christ coming and dying on Calvary's cross. And so he says, shame on you, Corinthians. And he's telling us the same thing. Are we willing to stand up? We claim we have Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and this is good. Are we going to be able to stand when things change and things go against us? I have been told that they have now a world currency that's coming, and I don't know where you would want to call it. Some people call it a secret society. Some people call it the deep state. Some people call it a certain amount of people know what they're doing and are trying to control the world and make a one world government. We will see that in time to come. There will be a one world government, and Satan will want to control it. And Satan will do everything he can and take over control of that because of the things going on. Because we have let God out of the schools and out of our lives and out of so many things, even so many churches, we find God is saying, okay, man, I will leave you to yourself. And you will decide how you want to run things. If you don't want to follow me, then when you do decide to follow me, you come to me, and I am not going to come to you. God says, I would rather that all people come to the knowledge of truth and be saved, because I have no pleasure in the death of a wicked man. But at the same time, he says, if that wicked man will come to me and ask for forgiveness of sins, I will not remember his wickedness. And the righteous man, if he comes and continue and starts and begins to do wickedness throughout the world and throughout his life, and he dies in that wickedness, I will not remember his righteousness. Now that's a stern warning to each one of us. God says, I have no pleasure whatsoever in the death of a wicked man. But I have given you the reason to choose the way you want to live and who you want to follow. And yet we see Paul warning us to awake out of sleep, to put on the whole armor of God. And as we put on that whole armor of God, he says, take the shield and the helmet of salvation and make sure you have it on and that it is secure. Then he says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And last week we talked about the word of God being sharper than any two-edged sword. And in that two-edged sword, it will cut asunder everything. There is nothing that will stand in the way of God's word, because God is holy, because he is the one that created heavens and the earth. And therefore, he is the Lord God and the Lord of lords and God of gods. He is the only one. He is the God of the living and not of the dead. We find he warns us about life itself. And he tells us, is your life showing Christ? You know, I probably shouldn't talk about my brother-in-law, but and he's dead now, but all his life he always said, I'm a good man and therefore I am okay. And it was not long before he died, he says, I met Christ face to face and I realized that it was Christ, not me. And I gave my heart to him, and a while later when he passed away, you didn't know the man from one day to the next. He had changed so much in his attitude and in his speech and in the way he talked to people, because God had gotten a hold of his heart and he had listened. He gave his life to the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. You see, God is merciful to us. God was merciful to Lot. And yet he says Lot's language was vexed with the same language of the day of Sodom and Gomorrah. Yet Lot had faith that God was God, and in righteousness we had to serve him. The people of Sodom respected Lot because of his respect and his belief in the righteousness that God had given him. Lot held a very important position to the fact that many of the people would listen to him. Yet, in their sin and their iniquity, they would not follow him in the end. You see, being this is Advent, we're looking forward to the birth of Christ, or when we celebrate the birth of Christ. And in that, it is important for us to remember not only the physical surroundings and the physical parties and the physical getting together, but let us remember the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Son of the living God. He came because God sent him into the earth. And because God sent him, he says, all those who believe on him and have him as their personal Lord and Savior will have everlasting life. Those who do not have him will be condemned because they do not believe. You see, it's not God condemning us. We condemn ourselves if we don't have Jesus. We find that we should not be deceived by the things of the world, but that we should live for Jesus Christ. In Ephesians, we're told, by grace we are saved through faith, not of ourselves, not of our work. It is the gift of God, and it's the gift that God has given each one of us. And as we proclaim Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we can then celebrate the true Advent and the true deity of Jesus coming into the world. Jesus was prophesied from Genesis chapter 3 all the way up through his birth, and we can read that in Luke chapter 2. We find that Christ was coming. As we head the prophecy candle this morning, we find that he was told a virgin would give birth 700 years before Jesus was born. When Jesus was born and when he spoke in Jerusalem or in Nazareth, the people didn't believe him. They looked at him as a carpenter's son. They looked at him as the one that should be taking care of his mother. Yet they wanted to know, and because they didn't like the way he spoke, and he says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your sight. They didn't like that. They wanted to throw him over a cliff. If you read the history of the of the Jews back then, when they threw him over a cliff, it would be approximately 12 to 15 feet, foot drop, where he would get hurt, yet not necessarily being killed. But if they wanted to stone him down there, they could do that. And so you see, they led Jesus to the brow of the hill, and if you have ever been in Israel or seen anything of it, Nazareth was set on the side of a mountain. And as you look out from Nazareth, you look out over the valley of a Armageddon or a Medigo, and that's where the final battle in this world will be fought. And many times you think, as you go through that, how Christ must have played even in that area. And yet he knew that the day is coming when he will have to fight all the armies of the world and put them down because they are following the devil and not following God. Yet God will win. And it tells us that after that battle of Armageddon, that the Jews will for 7 months be burying the dead from just that one battle. And then it says they will have people walk through and find other skeletons that they will bury. It is a hard time coming. And Jesus says, I come as a thief in the night. And as we sang, my faith looks up to thee. We find so much of the world closing in around us, wanting our attention, wanting our life. Yet God is saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me and live for me, having me as your personal Lord and Savior. Yes, in this world you're going to have hard times, but in eternity you will have the blessings which only God can give. He will wipe away your tears. He will wipe away all sorrow, and he will give you joy. He will give you the crown of righteousness and the crown of life as he gives you heaven itself. And in that giving, he will become our servant as well as our Lord. He has told us that if you believe in me, I will set you down at the banquet table and I will come and serve you. We are the bride of Christ as Christians, and as we have Christ in our personal life, we are part of that bride of Christ, and Christ wants the best for us. He says, I will come and get you and take you to where I am, that where I am, there you may be also. When he left this world, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And when I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself. It is us, then, we have to decide, are we going to follow Christ and have him as our personal Lord and our personal Savior? Lord, forgive me of my sin and help me, Lord, to be your servant, that, Lord, people would see you and me and glorify you. This is what we should be praying. And if we have Christ, Lord, help us to not be scared to stand up for our faith, but that in this faith that you have given us, we would be able to tell others and bring others into your kingdom. And we would put Christ on, as Paul says, awake. It is time to wake out of sleep, because the day of salvation is so much closer than it was. And we are much more far spent. The day is upon us. We do not know when Christ is coming, and we do not know when he will appear, but as a thief in the night. We do know this, that he is going to call each one of us into accountability. Are we serving Christ or not? If we aren't, why not? If we are we willing to give our life for him? Heavenly Father, I pray that you would watch over us and keep us. Help us, O Lord, to have our faith look up to you, that you, we have you as our personal Lord and Savior, that you are the one we are willing to live for and to die for. Help us, O God, that as we live for you, that you will not only give us your peace and your strength, but you will give us the words to speak. In Jesus' name, amen.